I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King locked on trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game, it's very important, Millie's.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. Wherever it is that you're going, whatever it is that you're doing right now, thank you for taking us along for the ride. We're the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Sam Jam Packard, here to recap a couple of games from the weekend, a weird Friday-Saturday back-to-back. And, of course, we've got the big Australian boat. We're going to talk about Tito and the nickname thing that just won't die, and which is fine for me. And it's all going to be brought to you by our friends at greats.com. Greats.com is Brooklyn's first sneaker company. They offer great men's and women's styles for every kind of look that you want. They got a big holiday sale going on. I'm going to give you the promo code later for 15% off your first purchase on top of it. So we'll get to that in a minute. But Sam, they played the Magic on Friday and just blew the doors off of them, which was nice to see a team come in and have just get decimated. None of this craziness. And then the Pacers, a little bit of a letdown at the beginning, but then just running away with things in the third quarter.
Yeah, we were just talking about the game, but it feels like the Celtics are – I'm ready to call them officially a good basketball team. They're handling opponents exactly how they should. Like, whack-ass teams like the Orlando Magic come into town, and they just pass the ball over the court. That was a really good thing to see, and it's something Brad Stevens said that team emphasized, was trying to get the ball side to side, getting paint touches and getting it to the other side of the floor. But they really did a good job against the Magic of just thoroughly dominating that entire game. Kyrie Irving didn't even have to play the fourth quarter. Everyone contributed. And then on a back-to-back where you don't have Jaylen Brown, you don't have Marcus Morris, it's like the Celtics did a very good job of taking that initial punch from the Pacers, who play extremely fast and were doing a good job of getting to the rim and getting out in transition. But the Celtics, because they are officially good, took that punch, made the adjustments at halftime, and had another just very good third quarter. And it's amazing how quickly – like they can erase a 10-point lead. It's just you'd rather they not get in those holes, but there's no – as a fan just watching, you have complete confidence in them to put together three stops, get out and make some transition baskets, and that's what they've been doing in the second half, making those adjustments, clamping down on D. So Celtics, good basketball team. Sam Packard, hot take artist.
They are officially good. At 18-3, best record in the NBA, officially good. What the hell happened to Orlando? They get some injuries, I guess, but man, what a free fall. The Pacers game followed more of a template for the Celtics, where they have problems in the first half, specifically, mostly the second quarter. The second quarters have been problems for the Celtics. They, in the second quarter, were outscored by the Pacers 22-18 and that's just more of a struggle because they're throwing out these Jason Tatum-led lineups, and no, he's just not ready to kind of take over in that role. So as that all gets sorted out, let me just read to you a thing that was on Mass Live, that the difference between the Celtics' first half and second half, and you can follow along with this, based on how the Pacers game went. So, according to NBA.com, Celtics have been outscored by 2.6 points per 100 possessions during first halves. They have outscored their opponents in the second halves by 16.6 points per 100 possessions. So basically, their second half, they're playing like the Warriors. In the first half, they're playing like the Mavericks. So I don't know what you think, but I think a lot of this may change down the road as the Celtics, I think they're experimenting right now. Tatum is coming out of the game early. They're putting him in to start the second quarter. He played the entire second quarter against the Pacers, and that didn't go well. And I think if there's one criticism of Tatum, it's that he's just not aggressive enough to be like the man scoring in that on that second unit. Played 12 minutes, he took 5 shots and scored 3 points. Not great. And I just wonder if that's going to be something that he grows into this season, or if Brad Stevens is going to do something different and play the second quarter almost like he plays the fourth quarter with Kyrie Irving starting the quarter or something like that, and then you don't have that second quarter kind of low.
Yeah, that second quarter is going to be, I feel like, an issue for the Celtics moving forward, because they've yet to find a consistent bench unit or like kind of rotation that allows them to get easy buckets. And you're right, the Tatum, as much as we'd like to see him be more aggressive, is something he has to grow into. And I think it's the type of thing where Brad's going to continue experimenting. And that's what he does. It feels like every year, early on in the season, he's experimented with a bunch of different lineups to try and figure out what works. And I think it's all right for just to try a bunch of different things right now, considering that they have the ability to kind of shorten the rotation in the third quarter, make the adjustments, and kind of you expect them to win. But I don't know if there is a clear answer right now of how to kind of figure out not to have that second half low, because at some point, like, Kyrie Irving and Al Horford are not going to be on the court. It's just it's the way rotations work, unless you like truly try to stagger them for the entire game, which I don't know it's like worth going all the way out of your way to do. You're going to have to get some points out of Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, maybe, who knows? He made some shots on Saturday night, which was shocking to see. I don't know if Tito can keep putting up 20 points a game. I don't know if that's sustainable, but you're right. They're going to have to figure out a way to generate offense, especially in that second unit. And I think there's going to be some growing pains, but the fact that they can clamp down and kind of, no matter how far they're down, even if they're down double digits, it seems like they can find a way to come back. So you're right. I think it's an issue. And I don't know what the exact answer is. I think Tatum is going to get more aggressive with time. But other than that, maybe it's just ISO Mook. Who knows?
Yeah. You know, look, the Celtics, they were without Morris. They were without Jaylen Brown. So there is some level of, you know, we can't look at the Indy game as the perfect example. As Chris Forsberg laid out on Twitter, Celtics were without 2 starters. They're on a second night of a back-to-back on the road, playing the 5th game in 8 nights in a 5th different city, and starting a center who was a healthy did not play the night before. So all of those things into account, a sloppy start to the game is not the worst thing in the world. I do think that second unit in that game would have maybe included Marcus Morris. And look, they started Abdel Nader, who is great in the G League, but not getting enough minutes to get any sort of consistency here. And he spent 3 minutes being pretty not great in that.
Celtics Twitter hate Abdel Nader. He's become the new public enemy number one. Like, anytime he comes in, and I can't say they're wrong because he has not played that well, but I'm going the other way. But you're right. Abdel Nader getting minutes is generally not a good sign for the Celtics. I'd rather Shane Larkin be the spark plug, but I just don't think he has enough size.
Right. Well, I mean, Shane Larkin came in for Nader 3 minutes into the quarter. So it was pretty quick that, you know, pretty quickly realized by Brad Stevens that the Nader thing wasn't working. Look, on a back-to-back, they've got a crush of games that I've talked about on this show for a million times already that – they're playing every other night, or if they're not every other night, they're freaking back-to-back. So you got to extend the bench. You can't just keep playing the same guys 35 minutes. You've got to just extend the whole bench and get guys these minutes, because you got to preserve them for a whole season. There's going to be a playoff run. There's a whole season to consider. So yeah, Nader is going to get time. Larkin is going to get time. Ogele is going to get some extended run. I'm surprised they didn't put Jabari Bird in there, but you know, you can't expect Abdel Nader to just come in out of nowhere and say, oh yeah, be good, be a good player. Like, he's the one guy of all the guys in this team. He's the one guy that they've put in and it just isn't working out exactly right now. So, but I just don't want the whole second quarter thing to be Jason Tatum and the boys, and everybody just forgets the other four guys that are on the floor and say, well, Tatum's struggling a little bit. That is true, but there are other things going on there. And, you know, look, fourth quarters, you're starting Kyrie Irving. So, of course, third and fourth quarters are going to be a little bit different. But it's just going to be interesting to see how everything shakes out. I don't think this is going to last forever. I do think that they're going to change the way the substitution patterns work. I think after Christmas, Brad Stevens is going to figure out enough. He will have gathered enough data to come up with stronger lineups.
Here's an idea I just thought of, and believe me, I have done zero thinking about this, but we saw Marcus Smart shoot better when he was a starter. I don't know if you changed the lineups, but what about making Jaylen Brown kind of the go-to guy in the second quarter? Instead of having it be Tatum and the rookies or Tatum and the young guys, it would be Jaylen Brown and the young guys. That guy is he's shown that he can be a volume scorer at times, especially if his shot is falling. I don't know if you want to take him out of the starting lineup, but maybe Jaylen's your first sub, and then you bring him back in the second.
I mean, that could be a possibility. They could start trying that. I just think maybe they're thinking that Tatum is a better shooter, maybe a better all-around offensive player. But look, I'm actually a proponent. I've been thinking about – we talk about the Marcus Morris lineups, because Marcus Morris so far has been a net negative. And it's early still with him.
You're saying that statistically, because I say, like, in all of his presence, he's been a net positive in my life. But statistically, a net negative.
Statistically on the basketball court, yes. Not in Jam Packard's, you know,
whatever. General worldview.
Thank you. So, I'm thinking that you might want to start Smart, bring Morris off the bench, and then somehow work things where Morris is back with that second unit. Like, he plays a few minutes off the bench to start, in the first quarter somewhere. You sit him down, you bring him back to start the second, and then Morris becomes your kind of go-to ISO scorer. He's not afraid to take that shot. And I think if you have a bunch of guys who are tentative, then you throw him out there and you say, go for it. Go be that guy. We need somebody to be aggressive. He can go be that guy.
I think it might work, and I think it's a lot of it depends on matchups, because I think tomorrow, or when you guys are listening to this, the game against the Pistons, it's going to be a game where you expect, with Drummond playing, you expect Baines to start, you expect him to have size, so Mook will come off the bench. He's going to be very motivated playing against his old team. I'm expecting big things from him, but it's definitely lineup-based, because you'll see Brad kind of flip when starting Mook, when starting Baines. So I think it's a very fluid situation, but I think against the Pistons, who are playing very good basketball right now, mm-hmm. it's going to kind of be interesting to see. And that, I just remembered, this is the return of Avery Bradley to the Garden, so it should be a pretty cool night against the Pistons.
Yeah, yep, Pistons coming in. Monday night game, Avery Bradley's return. We'll get to that in a second. But first, I want to tell you about our new friends at Greats.com. Greats.com is a really great, hence the name, shoe company. They are Brooklyn's first sneaker company, and they are just amazing. I love them. They sent me a pair of the Royale Blanco and they are fresh. They're all white everything, which I think goes with just about everything. You can dress them up, you can dress them down. There's all sorts of things that you can do with those shoes, and they're very comfortable. I think they look very stylish, and they are in a bunch of different styles for men, for women, classic styles, some more, you know, traditional styles, more kind of, you know, sneakery things, dressy things, casual things. They're doing a whole big sale on greats.com right now for the Black Friday. So you can go on. You could also use the promo code Locked On. Use the promo code Locked On, and you will get 15% off your first purchase. It's great for holiday shopping. You know, now you're out there and you're in that mode of going and buying things for people. So if you've got a sneakerhead in your life, if you've got somebody who's just really into fashion and stuff, go ahead and buy them some of these sneakers. There's, like I said, everything, leather, you know, more traditional stuff for men and for women. It's a perfect gift. Or if you want to buy a gift for yourself, absolutely. They've got, like I said, the Royale, the lace-up. They've got the Worcester slip-on. All great choices on greats.com. 15% off your first purchase with the promo code Locked On. They've got a big sale going on, so check them out. All right, Avery Bradley coming back on Monday. That's a big deal, right?
It should be. He has been like the major person in this Brad Stevens era who's there from the start. He's a great Celtic, and he should get a very long-standing ovation. It's going to be very cool. I always think the Celtics and Celtics fans are very good at acknowledging kind of players who have come through, players that they very much appreciate. And if you're a Celtics fan and you watched the Celtics for the past however many years, you should appreciate Avery Bradley. And I expect a very cool moment Monday night when he gets announced.
Yeah, I mean, it should be a lot of fun. I think he's the one guy that's basically universally loved around Celtics Nation. So I'm looking forward to it. It's kind of funny. We haven't talked about Avery Bradley at all this season, other than to say Jaylen Brown is filling in very nicely and basically doing everything that Avery Bradley used to do, except for the occasional. The only thing that we haven't seen out of Jaylen Brown is that one or two possessions against an amazing guard where Avery Bradley used to just go and tap dance and just be right up in that guy's face. And somehow, you know what I'm talking about. He had like that whole big explosion, like you hit a power-up on a video game, and it's like super defense mode. Jaylen Brown's not capable of doing that, but Jaylen Brown has done amazing stuff defensively. And look, the Celtics have the best defense in the league, so I guess it stands to reason that we're not sitting here going, oh, man, I wish we had Avery Bradley. I mean, we, of course, wish we had Avery Bradley, but it'd be, you know, it'd be nice to have him also on this team, but
yeah. I don't even know if they'd have, like, enough minutes to go around if they have Avery Bradley. You know, it'd be a very confusing kind of rotation, and you don't – like, Jalen Rozier or Smart just wouldn't get the same amount of minutes, so as much as I just advocated for this huge ovation for Bradley, it's the Celtics really haven't missed him this year.
Glad
he's gone. Boo this man. Boo him. No.
No, you know who'd have lost the most minutes? Your boy.
That? Tito.
Tito. Tito would have lost the most minutes.
Exactly. So for the rise of the Tito movement, Avery Bradley's departure was, in fact, very important. The one thing I am excited is to see the kind of the one-on-one matchup between him and Kyrie, because that was always electric when it was Kyrie was on the Cavs. Avery's supposed to be the best one-on-one defender in the NBA, and Kyrie has the most absurd handles I've ever seen. So that matchup, it will always be fun. So get excited. And plus, the Pistons are a good basketball team. I feel like when the Celtics are playing teams like the Magic and the Pacers and the Mavericks, a bunch of teams that are not that great, like this is the first kind of true, I guess they've been tested before they played the Warriors, but it's good to see them against better competition, because it really feels like Andre Drummond has figured it out. He's no longer like, you can't hack a Drummond. You can't basically put him off the court. He's playing hard. And the Celtics don't really, as big as Aaron Baines is, as he's bigger as all of Australia, like they just don't have like a lot of size. So we'll see if the rebounding is maintained. It should be a very good basketball game on Monday night.
Absolutely. Now the Pistons are 12-6. They are 7-2 at home, 5-4 on the road. So that might play into a little something. For some reason, they're not as good on the road. They're not great, in conference. Their point differential is not great. Just they're outscoring teams by just about 2 points, which is they're second in the conference right now. But they are fifth in the conference when it comes to point differential, with the Celtics at the top. So not only do they have the best record, they get the best point differential. So this will be a tough game, but something happens to the Pistons on the road. So we'll see if that can hold form. We got to mention the Tito stuff before we get to the boat, because the Tito thing,
it continues.
Like, I don't know. I feel like the origin of this is getting lost a little bit, but you, Sam Jam Packard, are the originator of Tito.
I am. I think that's 100% true. I went back on my Twitter timeline today just to see the earliest mention. It was in October of last season, and I've got to be honest right now. At first, I tried the Tito nickname on Tyler Zeller. I started calling him Tito Zeller. It did not fit. Exactly. It didn't catch on. I think I had like two or three tweets about that. But my thinking is clearly that if you have any talent and you're a cool guy and your name begins with T, Tito's the way to go. And it's just been a weird thing that it got like so big this year.
You did not mishear Tiro and say Tito. That's not the origin of the nickname.
I wanted to call him Tito. Like, that's just his name begins with a T. His name, it's Tito. And now it's just like when you have Abby Chin asking him about it after the game, it's just my notifications blow up. It's crazy. And because it was on a Friday night, I actually went into the locker room post game. Normally we record the podcast immediately. And I actually went up to Tito and I was like, hey man, like, I'm sorry you keep asking all these questions. Like, I'm the guy who invented it. He was like, oh, cool. Why Tito? And I was just like, I have no idea, but, that's what I call you. And he said he was appreciative. He supports the movement. He, says we should, I tried to float the idea of a Tito Three Sticks t-shirt. He said he was cool with that. So I don't know. I feel like I still have a bunch of people saying he hates Tito. I think he was just confused. And now that he has finally met me and acknowledged that, like, I've been calling him Tito for 2 years, I think the only place to go is up. I saw a think piece today on Hardwood Houdini about why Tito is important. And once you reach the think piece stage, you know you've reached your culturally relevant.
That's it. That's it. People are talking about this nickname. This nickname is born through you, through us on the show. Well, you know, I'm just going to latch onto it myself and just kind of pump it up, though.
Jay King on board, though, because he's not.
I think, you know what, when Austin Ainge tweeted about it, and that's what blew this up. Because Tito, look, you've been calling him Tito. We've been trying to kind of get it going on the podcast. I've come along. Jay certainly has been the slowest adopter of Tito, and we've been kind of, you know, busting his balls about it. Then Austin Ainge, for some reason, tweeted about it and put it into everybody's consciousness. And I think ever since then, Jay King is like, yeah, it's Tito for sure. Nope, no doubt about it. Tito Three Sticks it is. So, hey, look, we'll sit there and just kind of watch this keep blowing up. We got to get Tito on the show. We got to get him on the show to talk about this and see. Who knows?
Who knows what will happen? That's the best part. I just want to say shout out to all the people I see on Twitter who are Team Tito. And anytime this comes up, we're just like saying like, no, it is Tito. Like, I don't know. It's just like amazing to me what the internet can do. And the fact that dumb things that come from my mouth have spread to a large number of people is amazing. And it's I'm just happy that that has happened.
Yeah, I would be proud of myself if I were you, my man. I would definitely be proud. So speaking of being proud of yourself, why don't we do the big Australian boat?
Well, come on down to the boat, big Australian Bobby. Oh, that's going to be another thing. Huge shout out to our fans in Australia. I was, it feels like we dominate the Australian market. We have so many fans who tweet at us from Australia. I just want to give a big shout out to them. They are trying to teach me about Aussie rules football and which team I should join. It's all very confusing, but they have real cool mascots. But I just wanted to, before we get to the big Aussie boat, I wanted to give them a shout out because they're great.
Oh, we've been big in Australia since the beginning, man. I love, and I want to just shout out, general shout out to everybody in all the different countries, because we are international by a long shot. We're everywhere. And people will say, oh, yeah, because we're constantly giving love to our friends down in Australia, which, you know,
down under.
Considering the boat that we're doing and all that stuff, we've got a special connection now through Aaron Baines, but a definite shout out to everybody around the world who listens to us. But we're definitely the Australia thing is just a unique connection. I want to learn more about this Australian rules football. I know it's vicious. It's kind of crazy.
I was watching some clips recently. It looks pretty badass. Apparently there's like 10 teams in the city of Melbourne. I don't know how to pronounce it. But that's where Kyrie Irving was born. There's a lot of good connections. So shouts to the Aussies. And shouts to everyone else who's worldwide. It's really cool to – we're just guys talking, and it's really cool that people all over the world are listening to us. So that's the sentimental moment of the week.
I love it. All right, let's do the boat. We've got four games to choose from.
It's been a while since we did a boat, did we?
We did because I did last Sunday by myself. I soloed last Sunday's show because you were traveling. We couldn't get everybody together. So that it's been a while since we together have done a boat. So we've got this week spans from Monday, the Dallas win in overtime, the Miami streak buster, Orlando and Indiana. So you got a lot of basketball to choose from here. To get your boat going, I'll give you the honors.
Masked, woked, untucked, Kyrie Irving. Goddamn, that guy's good at basketball.
Yeah.
Oh man, he is a professional scorer. He does things that are absurd. He makes layups look easy that are incredibly hard. He is great. His mask eyes keep getting a little bit bigger and bigger. I just enjoy everything about him. He's great. He belongs on the boat.
He definitely belongs on the boat. He's an excellent first choice. I am going to go with the rookie, Jason Tatum, who has just been phenomenal all year long, had some big performances this week, had big fourth quarters. He had, 15 points against the Mavs. He had 18 against Miami. Orlando, not a big night, but he didn't play as much. 11 points there. And then against Indiana, he had, 11 points against the Pacers. So I just think Tatum has been rock solid all throughout this whole thing. I love the kid. I got a big thing coming out on Boston.com tomorrow, Monday. So if you're listening to this before Monday, Get ready for it. And then if you're listening to this on Monday, go to Boston.com and search for my Jason Tatum. Just kind of a progress report. The numbers for Tatum are really good. Like, he is really good. And if you do, like, the adjusted for, like, the per 100 possessions, he's hanging pretty close to Ben Simmons, who is the consensus rookie of the year choice.
Hashtag not my ROI. Hashtag not my ROI.
If he was an actual rookie, I'd support that. But he's going to get the rookie of the year. But Tatum is clearly best in his draft class at this point. So shouts to him, and he's on the boat.
Yeah, I'm just continually impressed by his length and his finishing around the rim. He's done some crazy one-handed scoop shots that have just been incredibly impressive. And it seems like he's got a smoother three-point stroke. So come on down to the boat. Oh, man, that was a terrible accent. I don't even know what I was trying with that one. I apologize. Let's move on quickly to Al Horford. He's a beautiful man. He's got gorgeous eyes, and he is, I legitimately think, the MVP of this team. He's been amazing on defense, and we've seen him continue to be an amazing passer, continue to make plays out of the low post. Like, he's been very aggressive, at least in the last two games. He had that absurd up and under move, Kevin McHale style. I just have really liked what I've seen, and just my favorite Al Horford moments are the ones where he gets the ball in the high block and is in the post and just is surveying, just waiting. And eventually someone makes a cut, and he is so patient. He always makes the right basketball play. So he definitely belongs on Aaron Bain's big Australian boat.
Oh, absolutely. Just going through some of his performances here. It's funny. So he spent the first part of the week, like, not scoring. So Horford against Dallas had 3 points, but was tied for the second highest plus minus with a plus 15. So Horford, talk about impacting winning. 7 assists to lead the team. No, wait, sorry, Marcus Smart had 8. But 7 assists to be second on the team. 8 rebounds, so he did things to win there. Against Miami, he struggled a little bit against Miami, but he still had a plus 8 to lead the team. Against Orlando, he was, let's see, against Orlando, Horford was a plus 19, second on the team, but only scoring 5 points, but he had 10 assists. All of those assists in the first half, because he didn't have to play much in the second half. He, in the first half, had 10 assists, and Orlando, as a team, had 11. So that's what Horford brings to the table there. And then he had,
and when he's a... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, he had 21, 6, and 5, filling up the stat sheet against the Pacers. Good.
Yeah, when he's playing aggressively, it's going to be... You're going to see the assists. Like, when they play through Horford, and he is at his most aggressive... It might not necessarily manifest itself in points, but it's going to be just him being a playmaker. And he is incredibly important for the Celtics team. And it's just amazing, the young Al, the energy he's playing with. So definite. I'd be surprised if there was times he didn't get on the boat for this entire year. But he feels like a permanent member.
I would say that. I'm going to put Jaylen Brown on the boat. Go ahead. Although.
Oh, no, I got nothing. Go ahead.
I'm going to put Jaylen Brown on the boat. He started the week off with 22 points against the Mavericks and was a big part of that comeback. 22-9 against the Mavericks. Then, not huge numbers after that, but if for nothing else, for playing through some of the worst personal heartache that you're going to have, and for him to just show up and play as well as he's played for, in memory of his fallen friend. Just, it's heartbreaking, but he shooting lights out in the first couple of games this week. And then I think against Orlando, he might have struggled a little bit more because I know he was heading down for the funeral, but just through it all, amazing performances. So Jaylen Brown definitely gets recognition.
Yeah, just for personal strength and getting through those tough times. I mean, who would we be to deny him boat access? We'd Absolutely. Be terrible people.
Absolutely. You have any more?
I think there's a little guy named Tito Three Sticks who put up his career high and then 20 points. I think he deserves some access.
Definitely.
He's been shooting with confidence, and watch out, world. They're so happy they didn't trade him for Serge Ibaka. He's been quite good and definitely boat person. And then I have one final guy, a bit of an outsider. I'm going to put Kyle Draper on the boat for his debut.
Whoa!
Yeah, I thought he was great. I really like Kyle doing play-by-play with Scal. I thought they had a good dynamic. Kyle Draper watches the games like I do, making like involuntary noises when Kyrie does something. Like, he was just going, oh! After like a Kyrie basket, and he like sounded like Master P out there. So I'm going to have to say Kyle Draper, first non-player to get access to Aaron Baines' big Australian boat.
Wow. All right. I think that's a good place to stop. Shouts to Kyle Draper. I thought he did a fine job. You know, he and Scal have a report. It's a totally different dynamic. And, you know, they're more joking. They're more like taking shots at one another, and going for the joke a little bit more often, I think, which is...
If you know anything about me, you know I like jokes.
Yeah.
So I'm all for that type of broadcast, especially on a random Saturday night when they're playing at Indiana. I enjoyed what Kyle's doing. Bang, bang, bang is a interesting catchphrase, but I like the moxie he had in going for it.
Yeah, that's it. You know, it was fun. I think he did a decent job. It'd be interesting to see how they do this moving forward. And it's, I don't want to bring it down or anything like that, but like, it's the first time you really start to think of like, oh my God, we're going to have to like think about life beyond Mike and Tommy at some point here soon. You know, I think we got used to it with Scal and, you know, we see Tommy enough, but you know, God, I'm so used to Mike Gorman calling these games forever. Like that's oof. So good for Drapes for doing a good job. That's not easy to go in there and do play by play to replace a legend, even for one game. So good for him.
And I'm just realizing that the reason Mike Gorman wasn't there was because of his 70th birthday. So let's invite that guy on the boat too, as the Reigning Jays official birthday present to Mike Gorman.
Hey, I like that. I like that a lot. Mike Gorman, happy birthday, 70th birthday. You get him right on the boat.
It's a party boat now. Mike Gorman's here.
Mike Gorman and Tito Three Sticks popping champagne. Can you imagine that scene?
I do every night.
Be sure to go to greats.com, everybody, and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You get 15% off your first sneaker purchase. They're really just good looking sneakers. And if you want something that's sneaker, but not like your typical Nike Adidas type of thing, these are more lifestyle sneakers. So they've got other sneaker looking sneakers, but if you want to that whole look, dressing up your stuff with some cool sneakers, a bunch of different styles, they've got them for men and women. Greats.com, promo code LOCKEDON to get 15% off your first purchase. And, of course, be sure to subscribe if you're not a regular subscriber to the show. Search for Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcast. Even on Spotify, we are there. Spotify curates all of their stuff, and they've chosen us to be in their podcast rotation. It's a great honor, so thank you to them. And if you are a subscriber, be sure to leave us a good review, 5-star rating, and spread the word. Let everybody know. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell random people on the street to listen to us, the Locked On Celtics podcast. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network.